the Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the Tournament of Pizza. I meant to drop this little tidbit of knowledge after the first hour.
Okay.
In the news, this is the state of Florida.
It is.
Where we do have some common sense here, not like other states. Some.
All right. Well, I'll follow you down this rabbit hole.
They're waiting to hear back from, I guess, the jury as to whether to kill this SOB from the Parkland shooter.
Nicholas Cruz.
There should be no question.
Well, he was damaged in the womb.
Guess
he
what?
Was poisoned.
Guess what?
And he's mentally ill.
Guess what? He's damaged now if he gets in front of me.
you in awful a violent.
In a heartbeat. I'd kill that. I'd kill him in a heartbeat.
Whoa, whoa,
I'd kill him in a heartbeat.
Calm down, FCC. This is not. Edit that
no,
out.
No, no, no. I'm saying, like, you know, if they asked me to pull the switch or flip the lever or what, I would do it in a heartbeat.
See, that's back when, like, you know, you get a page, like, hey, there's an execution at the town square. Come
exactly.
For the guillotine.
Drop the right. Hammer.
Now, with technology, they do it through a needle. It's not even a real machine. There's no electricity. You know, it's different these days. Back when you guys used to hang people in this town
square. What would your final meal be?
Oh, my final
whatever's
meal?
The longest to make.
No, why? No, I would, my last meal, I mean, I would do an adult Happy Meal at McDonald's. Those look delicious.
If you could find them.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can find them.
How great is that?
$12 for a Happy Meal.
Have you seen the toy? The toy. I saw a meme. Yeah. It's like a picture of like a Ronald McDonald in a swimsuit or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's an adult Happy Meal.
Yeah,
it is crazy. All right, we'll get back to that. Hopefully, we'll hear results from the jury down South Florida soon. But let's head back to Las Vegas as we get ready for this weekend's UFC Fight Night. Let's welcome back to the program the Beverly Hills Ninja, Jordan Wright. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Another fight week. What's it like? Is it everyone the same, or do you try to like mix it up a little?
No, I mean, you know, you're always at like sometimes you're at a different hotel or. You know, you're with, you know, around different people, but it's all good for me. I treat it all the same. It's the best I've ever felt. My weight's good. I'm working with a dietitian now. So I have, I'm not feeling super drained. I've always drained myself for these weight cuts and felt like shit throughout fight week. And it affected me on fight night. But now mentally, I feel good. Physically, I feel good. Feel fantastic.
And just for FCC, he said ship. Because he knew that I was in the Navy. He said he felt like a ship. That's
Oops. Sorry.
No. It's definitely all good. What's the best and the worst part of what you do for a living?
I mean, the best part is that I get to follow my dreams. The worst part? I don't know. There really isn't a worst part. There's I guess you could say the least best is I don't really like... I don't really like the weight cut part of it, but it's been great this time. I suppose because you still have to cut out a lot of the junk that you want to eat. But right now I'm full, I'm fat, I'm happy, I'm feeling good, and I'm in the best shape of my life. So, yeah, I it's all great. I love it all.
Just so I know for the future, Tim Sylvia once told me, you know, his most hated question and that fighters hate this question, how did camp go? Because then he would always joke, you know, I tweak my left knee, my toe hurts, my ankle, you know, whatever. So obviously those are things that athletes would never, you know, answer. That's why I don't ask it. So what is the worst question you've been asked other than the one I just asked you?
I guess, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? It's like, dude, I wouldn't be going in there if I wasn't ready. You know, are you ready is always the worst. Because it's typically people that don't know a lot about fighting. And usually it's just from a place of not knowing. So it's like, what else are they going to say? Like, are you ready? Yeah, that's always kind of like the most annoying question I get.
So what happens when the ref turns to you, you know, to start the fight and says, are you ready?
That's fine. That's his job. That's the one time where it's okay. Like, I can say that to people now. That's a good point you bring up. I just be like, hey, you ain't a ref. Don't ask me if I'm ready. The ref asks me if I'm ready.
That's beautiful.
So Jordan, going back to the training and the weight cut, you know, I've been around the UFC long enough to where, you know, these guys, when they started, were just, you know, working full-time jobs and then fighting on the weekends. And then it got to the point where it became like a legitimate sport. But they were still using like bodybuilding methods to cut weight, you know, like going into like fight camp and just so lethargic and unable to get off the mat. So with science, are you using any of the recovery tools now, like the altitude tents and the cryogenics and, you know, ice baths and things like that? Or are you still just doing nutrition?
No, I mean, of course, a lot of nutrition, but one of my coaches is Vladimir Matyushenko. He's from Belarus. So we do some ancient Russian, you know, recovery stuff, a lot of saunaing, a lot of ice baths. You know, sometimes he'll smack me with the tree branches, which is an old, you know, Russian thing. But I don't do a lot of, you know, newfangled this or that. I stick to a lot of the basics, massages, chiropractic, ice bath, sauna, all that good stuff. I stretch, make sure my diet's good, my recovery's on point.
So with the tree branch thing, is it like the gauntlet in jiu-jitsu, like where you run through and they hit you with branches, or how does this work?
No, I mean, it's a little more, it's a little more tame than that. But yeah, there are these branches that they get, and while you're in the sauna, you're lying down, it kind of like smacks you with the branches, and I think it's supposed to bring a lot more blood to like the surface of the skin, because it burns a little extra when he does that. I remember watching a video of Fedor doing it years ago. So I'm like, frick, if Fedor does it, I can do it too. So, you know,
I'm going to check into this.
Are you familiar with his coach? Are you familiar with him?
No.
Well, yeah, exactly. You said that you've been, you know, involved with MMA for a while. So I'm just throwing you under the bus. That's
since
all.
Since like 1993.
Dang.
November 12th.
Yeah, no, Vladimir Matyushenko. He's freaking fought for the UFC title.
Absolutely.
IFL champion, dude's one of the old school, and he's still kicking ass to this day.
And just for the record, I was at those fights. So, yeah, I definitely know who he is. That's why I threw him under the bus.
My man.
There we go. Curious if you collect anything, whether it's memorabilia, T-shirts, whatever. And if you do, what is that holy grail item that you'd like to obtain?
Like anything? Like collectible?
Yeah, anything.
No, I wouldn't say I do. Like, I don't know. A cool, like, authentic samurai sword would be pretty nice to have, decorate the house. But other than that, I'm not a super materialistic person. But like I said, having a nice, cool sword, that would be pretty badass.
Cool. Okay. Give me your thoughts on your opponent, since that is why we're talking, to get everybody ready, fans ready, media ready, for UFC Fight Night Saturday in Las Vegas. Give me your thoughts.
He seems like a nice guy. I met him yesterday. Seems cool. He likes to, he's a Taekwondo, Jiu-Jitsu guy. He's very sticky, kind of a sticky kind of fighter. Like, he really likes to grab you, clinch, get a hold of you, make it kind of a wrestling match, which I'm all prepared for. But yeah, other than that, I don't really focus too much on him. You know, at the end of the day, the same guy that you signed the contract to fight first doesn't always show up. So I'm ready to fight anybody.
Does it matter to you as you prepare for the fight? Nice guy, not a nice guy, talk crap on social media, doesn't talk at all. Any of that come into to bother you or not bother you?
They all bleed red at the end of the day. So it's all the same. it's all the same to me.
Craziest thing that's ever happened, in the middle of a fight, either to you, you did, you heard, whatever, while you're in the middle of a fight?
Craziest thing. Yeah. I will say, looking back, there was a kickboxing smoker I had when I was like 16 years old, and I was fighting this dude in his 20s, this tatted up Mexican dude, and I'm, a little skinny little white kid from Los Angeles, and he really took it to me in the first round. I remember, like, the girl who I liked was there, and I was just in high school at the time, so, like, everything was super dramatic. So the girl who I liked was there, my family was there, my mom was there, everyone was there. And, again, because I started fighting pretty young, and as a young fighter, I was fighting a lot of adults. But I was fighting this dude, and he just, again, it wasn't even a fight. The first round, I maybe landed a few good things. At the end of the first round, I Hail Mary threw a head kick. But we had headgear on, and he was a durable. Mexicans can take a freaking hit, so he was pretty durable in that. And then the bell rang, and immediately going to the next round, I was just like, well, shit. Sorry. I was like, well, crap. This is not going my way. I'm getting embarrassed. My whole family's here. That was not a very good round for me. And I just sort of accepted at that moment. I was like, you know what? probably not going to win this fight. Let's just have fun right now. Let's just perform and do all the training that I've done. And all the pressure was off at that point. All the pressure was off. It was a great learning experience for me in that moment, because going into the next round, he started off strong, but started to wilt a little bit. And then I picked up after that and just unloaded on the dude and finished him with knees. And again, if you're, you know, you're a Mexican guy in your 20s losing to a skinny, you know, 16-year-old white kid, I'm sure that harms a lot of your pride a little bit. But just being able to go in there and have that personal dialogue with myself in between rounds, just accepting it, and as opposed to letting the pressure get to me, because that's what was happening. I was losing because I was letting the pressure get to me. Once I let the pressure go, that's when the true dog in me was able to come out.
You know, that's interesting, because I asked those types of questions, like, what are you thinking? How are you thinking? Are you able to think? Obviously, you did. You were able to, in the middle of that fistfight, you know, kind of slow things down, think, talk to yourself, and change the outcome. That's an awesome story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was rewatching that movie Last Samurai with Tom Cruise recently, and one of my favorite moments in it, he's sparring this one dude, and he's getting his ass kicked, and one of the guys comes up to him, and he's like, You too many mind. He's like, too many mind? He's like, mind on sword, mind on people, mind on field, too many mind, no mind. And he's like, no mind. And from there, he was sort of able to remove himself from himself and just perform. So I don't want to think a lot when I'm actually competing, but it was cool in between rounds when stuff slowed down. I was able to find it and then have no mind. Just go.
That's awesome. Awesome. Great stuff.
That's great stuff.
Jordan, what can the fans expect to see Saturday night when you're back in the octagon?
They can expect me to finish another person, add another win to my resume with a finish. And, yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Good stuff. Can't wait. Appreciate your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you another care package from 8 Man Strong. Enjoy it, and let's talk again soon.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Jordan sounds ready.
Good stuff. Jordan Wright, definitely ready to get back in the octagon. Great story.
Great story.
Let's go hit a break. Coming to you live from Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. When we return,
this is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello, this is Clyde the Glide Drexler from Houston, Texas, site of the 2004 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And I just want you to know that you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans. Check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors, offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents BKFC 31, Saturday, October 15th. Watch it live on the BKFC app. Download it now at BKFC.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Hall of Famer Monty Irvin. And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Who was that?
Go ahead, say something stupid.
No, I was just asking because that guy sounds like he was around before pagers.
He was. Go ahead and Google Monty Irvin.
Monty Irvin?
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, gotta be disrespectful.
I don't know who it is.
If I don't slap you, our next guest will.
But if you answer like Hall of Fame, like exactly. you got to be a legend or something.
Exactly. If I don't slap you, our next guest will.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
It's welcome to the program, the Marine, Mike Richmond. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, we can hear you. We're still having some issues here from the hurricane and lightning hitting the tower, so we're doing it via Skype. But I needed to get you on. You know, big fight coming up. I know that we've texted back and forth. A couple days out. You get excited about anything? Are you excited about this?
You know what? For me, I got so many fights under my belt now. The excitement really doesn't kick in as far as, like, exciting nerves. Don't really kick in until a little slightly on weigh-ins day, right? That's the first little face-off where you get to look. You know, look at him, your opponent in the eyes, and then the real excitement nerves kick in when I'm in the hole and on deck, you know, back, you know, getting ready to go out, you know, under the lights and cameras and fans.
I need to compliment you on how you responded on the Book of Face. So somebody, you know, there's a lot of heat, a lot of stuff going back and forth with you and Lorenzo Hunt, and somebody messaged you on Facebook and said, what would happen if he ever showed up at your place of work? And I loved your response. So instead of me trying to remember what you said, let the audience know what you said Lorenzo Hunt ever showed up.
Yeah, so obviously, to give a little insight, I'm the general manager of Screamer Rhino Minneapolis. It's a gentleman's club. And, you know, someone asked me, because we have a lot of beef, like, what would happen if he showed up to my club? And to paraphrase kind of what I said, you know, I would treat him with the utmost of hospitality and try to get him to spend his money, you know, his disposable income on the entertainment, you know, and because that's my place of business. That's my professional career. And I make a good living doing it. I'm not going to risk, you know, losing my career to fight some guy at my place of business. So sometimes people lose sight on, you know, real life reality is things. It's like, you know, I still have a regular full-time job that feeds my family. I mean, fighting right now, this is good additional income. It helps me buy extra stuff, you know, vacations and whatnot, but I still have a real life career as well I got to worry about.
So Mike, when you use big words like disposable income, I got $7 and I got a couple compliments and an IOU. What will that give me, a spearmint rhino?
Yeah, well, you'd have to get in there before 9 o'clock for a free cover, because after that, you know, that $7 ain't going to get you much farther.
And Mike means, you know, 9 a.m. Yeah, give me your thoughts. I know training is going well, and we don't talk training like I was just talking to the last couple guests. You know, you're fighting for a title, interim title, regular title, it's immaterial. You're fighting for a belt.
Yeah. You know, training is going well. You know, I try not to overly analyze it, to really overly think it, get in my head. I just been normally going in there training how I normally train. I've been trying to really just do me and not overly beat myself up and focus on things that the mentally, you know, screw with my mind, you know, because when it comes to bare knuckle, as of right now, the rounds don't change, right? It's still five rounds. The rule setting hasn't changed to where they haven't gone to 7 or 10 yet for title fights. So the rounds are still five and the minutes are still 2 minutes. You know what I mean? So, like, yes, we're going to go in there. We're going to train hard, just like we normally train to crack each other in the face with bare fists. But at the end of the day, there's no more additional rounds because it's a title fight. So it's not like I'm – how do I put it? I'm not training for a 10-rounder, a 7-rounder, or a 12-rounder like boxing, or a 5-rounder instead of a 3-rounder in MMA. I'm just going in there to do what I normally do and get ready to showcase my skill set and knock someone out.
When you're preparing for a fight, you know, in this case, Doolittle, how much time do you spend on what he has done and what he does, if you spend any time at all worrying about it?
Rarely. I rarely spend any time on it. I'll look at a couple little things here and there. I'll see if he has similar movement. His footwork, is his footwork the same throughout his fights? Is his punching combinations, punching speed, does he move kind of the same throughout his fights? You know, because people change and evolve. Now, if you show that you're never evolving, that kind of shows you're always going to fight the same style of fight. I'm not saying Doolittle could showcase a new set of skills that I've never seen, but I don't overly look into I'm not dissecting each one of his fights. And if he does, I'm an instinctual fighter, and I exploit my skill sets to try to take out his weaknesses. But I'm not a plan A, plan B, go to plan C type of guy. I do see some things in his game that that I can exploit. I haven't seen many evolution in his style of fighting based off of his handful of bare knuckle fights. And then, you know, I'm just going to go in there and do what I normally do. I quickly analyze and I'm quickly adjusting in the fight as it's happening. And I think that's what makes me a different, another level of fighter over my peers.
So Mike, in regards to the training goes, you know, obviously the rounds haven't changed, the time hasn't changed, but Minneapolis is 830 feet above sea level. You're fighting at 5279 in Denver. Have you done anything in preparation for the altitude change or training to fight in thinner air?
You know what? Not really. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I haven't really done no masks. Like I said, when people are like, are you going to get out to Denver a week or a couple weeks prior? In order to really truly acclimate to that altitude, I got to get out there more than a couple weeks prior. Well, I got a full-time career, family, life, and other stuff. So, like, I can't get out there a month prior and adjust to the elevation. I'm just going to continue to train like a high-performance fighter and athlete, and I'm going to go out there and do my thing. And I'm not going to let that get in my head, be like, oh, I didn't get into elevation. Because you know what? If the elevation was a real thing, the Denver Broncos would be undefeated every home game.
Hold on a second, Mike. Have you seen who their quarterback is?
Well, that's all I'm saying. They're training up in Denver every day. All these people at sea level should be just dying up there right now. We train as freaking high performance athletes. We're going to go up there and we're going to do the damn thing. And that's what it all comes down to.
Awesome. Good stuff. Mike, we appreciate your time. I'll see you Friday at the weigh-in, and I can't wait to see you back in there on the squared circle on Saturday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Mike Richmond, the Marine, back in action. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to go to this card.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, is because of Mike. And not because of the fighter, because of the guy. Definitely a good dude, a big fan of his, and I can't wait to see him. All right, let's go ahead a quick break. When we come back, our final UFC interview as we talk to Jacob Malkoon when we return.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Phil Baroni, the New York Badass from the UFC, and you're listening to Talk Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship presents BKFC 31, Saturday, October 15th. Watch it live on the BKFC app. Download it now at BKFC.com.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Hey, this is Greg Nettles from the New York Yankees, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
All right, we're back. That was fun throwing you under the bus, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, but it didn't mean anything. I don't know who that is. But I do like the hit people with the branches to get the blood to come to the surface. I'm going to research this because I've been doing ice bath therapy.
If Matashenko did it, it works.
Well, did you see Tom Showoff go through the gauntlet and got his black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? People with white belts were slapping him on the back. And
I hate that. I told you I hate it.
But
I'm against it.
The treat thing, the sticks, I'm enticed. Because I'm on the cutting edge of fitness and technology, and I love anything new. And I didn't even know that hitting people with sticks was a real thing.
Sure, I'm sure it's in the movies.
Wow. But I don't know.
What do you think about the Rays blowing it and just looking so awesomely awful?
Well, what else did you expect? I expect them to do exactly what they did.
Yeah, I pretty much did too. Yeah. I did. I was surprised on some of the others. I know we briefly talked about it with Tony Saunders. We are waiting. Jacob Malkoon coming up. I'm looking forward to talking to him.
Okay.
Because you know who his hero is? Well, his nickname is Mamba.
Mamba would be Kobe Bryant.
It would be Kobe Bryant. So.
They call him the Black Mamba, though, right?
Well, this would be a Down Under Mamba. So let's welcome to the program the Mamba, Jacob Malkoon. Jacob, how are you? Okay, maybe not.
How far down under is he?
Well, he's down under in Las Vegas, but it's how far down under is the mothership over there. That is the issue. So I've always wanted to ask a couple rugby questions, or really just one. So sure. I think we'll be able to do that with Jacob here momentarily. But back to real quick, you know, the Seattle-Toronto series, I actually watched it, you know, which to me was kind of surprising. But we were sitting around, you know, I don't watch a lot of regular, you know, TV. I watch a lot of the same stuff over and over. So we had it on and watched some b-ball and some beanball.
Yeah. Well, I know we talked about that stuff earlier, but we didn't talk about the big elephant in the room.
Steve?
No. The Brett Favre being accused of wrongdoing and a little scandal down in Mississippi.
We'll get to that if we have time. Okay. Right now. Let's welcome to the program Jacob Malkoon. Jacob, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. What's fight week like for you?
Well, it's been pretty good. Pretty relaxed, chill. Putting the final touches and ready to go.
Are you an athlete that tries not to think about you have a fist fight in 3 days, or are you the athlete that puts the picture like Rocky Balboa and, you know, you're centered in on your opponent?
Not really. Neither, really. I try to stay relaxed, but you still have a job to do. You know, you're not here on a holiday, laying down by the pool. But as well, I don't want to think about it too much to be too nervous either. If that makes sense.
Sure. No. Absolutely. You go by the nickname Mamba. I'm curious. What did Kobe Bryant mean to you?
It was just to be honest. Obviously. It was, the way it started, it was just like, we used to play NBA 2K to play the game. We used to always pick him. And he just started from there. But then, obviously, his work ethic and his mentality towards sport and competing, obviously, it made me kind of think that's who you got to be. Like, obviously, you got to work hard. Everyone's talented. Everyone's working hard, but you got to try your best to outwork everyone else.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of the stories, and I just recently saw one where an ex-player went up to him and said, you know, how come you would never pass whoever this one player was the ball? And he said, because he comes 5 minutes before practice and he leaves when practice is over. If he's not going to put in the extra time, I'm not passing him the ball.
Right. That's his mentality, you know. If you don't keep up, if you don't put the work in, kind of don't deserve to play with him, kind of thing.
Definitely. For sure. Are you a fan of other sports? What other sports do you follow, play, watch?
Obviously, I watch the NBA. I'm a fan of, I don't know if you know, the rugby league as well.
I was hoping you were going to bring up rugby, because I knew that you were involved in that, because I have a rugby question. So yeah. I love going to the sevens. And, you know, they have the seven tournament in Vegas. I try to get to it every year. But I still don't understand the one part where they, you know, they pick the guy up and they throw him in the air so he can catch the ball. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, that's union, rugby union. I'm more into the rugby league. It's a bit of a different sport. But, yeah, the rugby union thing, yeah. I don't really watch rugby union, so I don't know. I can't help you there.
So what's different? What of the rugby that you like? What is there? Tell me about that. Maybe I'll divert my interest.
The rugby league's got like six plays. It's not continuing. You got six play the balls. You got to kick and it just keeps going. It's hard to explain, but just, there's little differences, but a bit faster. I grew up with it a bit more, if that makes sense.
I definitely love watching it. It definitely is fun. But, you know, you're getting back to work on Saturday. Give me your thoughts, your opinion on your opponent.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. It's going to be a tough fight. He's got some good grappling, good wrestling, good cardio. Obviously, he's a tough dude. And, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've worked hard, as I always do. So I just got to get out there and perform my best. And I think my best will be good enough.
What's the strangest, if anything like that has happened, the strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fist fight that you were involved in?
Never really fun, mate. It's not, as in, there's nothing funny and fun about being in a fist fight. But we, for some reason, we love it as well. We love the preparation. We love the fight. But, yeah. I don't find anything funny in there, to be honest. Want to get in, get out, and get back home.
What are you thinking about in the middle of the fight? Or are you not even thinking? And that's the beauty of it, that you're just reacting.
Yeah, like you're reacting. Obviously, sometimes thoughts come in. Like, you don't want to think. But obviously, sometimes you might think this, think that. But you want to try to be in the zone and just let all your training and reactions and instincts do what they do, you know?
So Jacob, this is a little bit off subject, so I apologize for that. But back about 20 years ago, I did a business plan for a restaurant called Hookers, and it was a rugby-themed sports bar that was going to be geared towards rugby, similar to Hooters, but all rugby-themed club sport, beers from around the world imported, you know, cigar lounge, humidor. But for the people that don't know stateside, you know, how big is rugby in Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, rugby and rugby league is very big in Australia. It's like one of the main sports in the country. Yeah, it's just like, all right, you gotta be a super athlete to be good at it as well. You gotta be strong, you gotta be fit, and yeah, it's just massive.
That's why I've never played. I'm not strong. I'm not an athlete. And it all works out well.
That's why you can't be one of my hookers.
Perfect.
That's why I wasn't that good at it.
Jacob, what can the fans expect to see when you get back in the octagon on Saturday?
So he's got to expect it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a hard fight. And I think it's going to be a highly competitive fight. But I'm coming to win. want to be relentless, and yeah, we're just going to see what happens. I hope it would be easier to tell you after the fight what's going to happen, but I can't.
But we're all looking forward to it. Thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time. And first and foremost, have fun on Saturday night.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.
Jacob Malkoon back in the octagon on Saturday, UFC fight night. Good stuff. Let's go hit our final break of the afternoon. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Hookers.
Fireball.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Eric Moles from the Buffalo Bills, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Terrell Owens, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
And we are back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live from Porta Pizza, soon to be Hookers.
We were supposed to have a...
You know, Hookers is a position on a rugby team. It's the guy that gets the ball from the scrum.
Yeah.
So after your guy gets thrown up in the air.
Why does the guy get thrown in the air?
That's your guy.
Well, because. Just because he's your guy?
Well, because he's not tall enough. So they have to make a.
They got
to
help.
Like a Mega Man. They can't. Unless you hire someone like Draymond Green.
A transformer.
Yeah, Draymond Green would be good for that.
Well, we're trying to get Caleb back.
He likes to fight. You put Caleb on the rugby squad.
Yeah, I want to see somebody lift Caleb up.
See, that's what I got to do. I can use my eligibility for rugby.
Yeah. All right. So CB is back. Get your CB. CB is back. Caleb, you're back. What's up?
What's going on?
All right, so let's talk Draymond.
Yeah. Like I said, I think the guy who released that, because, okay, so from my understanding, it came from the video. It wasn't open practice. It wasn't media. It came from the video department, because it was a recorded video. It wasn't like a live video taken. It was a recording of the practice film. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, whoever released that should be punished, like, greatly. Like, I know the players didn't release it because Draymond doesn't want to look bad. You know, Jordan right. Poole's not going to release it because it looks bad in it. The media did, like, report about it, but they didn't have video because they're not allowed to video practice. So I don't know who, you know, kind of how that whole thing went down, but that person should be punished.
I agree with you if whoever released it wasn't authorized to release it. You know what I mean? Like, if the team allowed him to release it, I mean, he can't be held accountable. And
the team, now they're in a predicament.
Right.
It wasn't built up, held it in house.
Right. No, they're definitely in a predicament. But I can't imagine that anybody that runs their social media, you know, would release something like that without permission. I mean, I'm just assuming, and you know what that means.
They got paid by TMZ.
Well, if they got paid by TMZ, then, yeah, I would imagine the team is going to fire them at least.
Yeah, I hope so.
and going back to what my 10-year-old producer who replaced Steve said earlier today, media with no video is just radio. So had they taken away all the cameras inside the gymnasium, we would never see this footage. We would just have people like Randy talking about what happened.
I would be curious, though, how this plays out. You know, because like I said, whoever runs that team's social media, you know, has supervisors, has, you know, vice president of communications, has whatever. So I would imagine, and whatever, that that they're going to be fired if it wasn't authorized by the team. So,
yeah.
And I agree with you. If you work for the team, you know, you're around players all the time. You know, you've now severed, you know, ties with and relationships with everybody on the team. How are you going? You know what? I'm going to take it back. I hope he doesn't get fired. You know why?
Why?
Because his life is going to be a living hell going to work every day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine walking around, you know, the office, the compound, what, you know, whatever you would call, you know, when you go to work, you guys, you know, now you see Draymond walking down to, you know, to practice, or what are you going to do? Run the other way?
You're going to have to, because nobody's going to want you around. I think it's there's a certain level of freedom break, man. Like there's that four walls thing. This is just as bad as the Antonio Brown thing when he was, you know, recording Facebook Live of a speech after practice, like after the game, sorry, after they won that playoff game. There's just certain things that you keep house in your hand with house. If imagine video of every fight ever that took place in the facility or sports team went viral, like, it would be crazy.
No, for sure.
Now, the real question is, like, compared to the greatest punch of all time, the Kermit Washington, Rudy Tekmakovic, the punch, how would you rate Draymond's technique in that video?
I mean, it was a stiff one. It was a stiff one, man. He knocked him out. It was a stiff one. That's not fun, you know. Now, me personally, we'd have to fight again.
Hold on a second. I thought you said that you let it go after it happens.
Yeah, but that's when we're both involved in the skirmish. But that was, that straight jab, you're going to knock me out with my one more time so I can get my shot. I want to get the lick in, too.
So do you think they'll both be able to get over it and move on?
I would hope so, man. I would hope so. I think, like I said, like, I've been in those situations, like, personally, and I've been able to get past it because it was never, and again, like, I think it was just impossible to get a lot of testosterone with the egos, you got alpha male, something. As long as nobody's seeing things that you can't take back, if it's just, just kind of huffing and puffing and it kind of leads to, well, you took it too far, now I got to show you that I'm going to fight you kind of thing. If that's the case, then I think that they can get over it. But if it's a situation where, you know, he's talking about his girlfriend or his wife or one of those that you can't get past, then that'll be unfortunate. But hopefully it's not, and they can, you know, they can move on. Because, you know, I think they have a great chance to repeat champions, it's all kind of stupid picture, but you know, like you're saying, you got guys making millions of dollars and a lot of egos, so we'll see what happens.
So Caleb, I sleep with the TV on. I get most of my sports news and analytical through osmosis of listening to ESPN as I start to wake up in the morning. And I feel like
you're such a liar.
I feel like last night, I feel like I saw a loop or a story of Aaron Donald who was out of the game, not dressed, but then he put on a helmet and then charged the field to start a fight after the game was over. Did that happen this week, or was that an old footage? And what are your thoughts on something like that, where, you know, a guy puts on a helmet to go into a battle or fight after a dirty play?
That didn't happen. I think it was a practice. It was during training camp, and then they had that whole issue of practice with the Bengals, and he grabbed two dudes' helmets, and he was swinging helmets to people.
He's 300-pound dude.
The only good thing that came out of that whole situation, Caleb, you know what it is, right?
That phenomenal picture.
The best part to come out of it is Alex was a safe distance away.
Yeah, true. Looked pretty well the other night.
Why do you football players fight with your helmets on? Like, why don't you guys take them off like the NASCAR guys?
Because that's dumb. Like, I don't know why you would fight with your helmet off. Put it on, right? Put your helmet on and then open hand punches. You don't want to punch a closed helmet. A punch a helmet with a closed, you're going to break your hand. So open hand punches, right? And then keep your helmet on. And in those situations, you know, guys get over pretty quickly. It's kind of just stings your pride more than it hurts your face, it's easy to get over.
One of my closest friends was on the field, played for the Bucs, and did take a swing at a player while Sean Taylor was still wearing the helmet. And, it was pretty bad.
I learned that early on.
Don't know if you know much about that story, but Sean Taylor spit on Michael Pittman. And Pitt was, he just lost it. So they threw Sean Taylor out of the game, and then they were ejecting Pitt. And, you know, the refs got together, and they're like, you know, he did just get spit on. They're like, okay, we'll let him stay in the game. Like,
is that the most disrespectful thing you can do? Like getting spit on?
Yeah, if you spit on a dude, man, like, you deserve it on Trump's next. If you hit him with the helmet, whatever it is, like, that is insane. Like, spitting on somebody is a crazy thing. Like, you can't. I would never, there's no situation, man, woman, football, not football, that I'm going to fix my lips to spit on a human being. Like, that's so out of line. There's no way.
I agree with you. Give me your thoughts on the season so far. We'll start at the top. Are the Philadelphia Eagles for real?
I think they're for real. I think they're the best team in football. No, I think the Kansas City are the best team in football. I think the Buffalo Bills will be second, and then I will put the Eagles at third. But I think they are for real. They have a really good defense. They get to the quarterback. Jalen Hurts is playing really, really well, and as long as he can keep that up, I think they'll do well. I'm interested to see if the Cowboys move away from the style that they've been playing this game at, because they've been running the ball and relying on defense and asking the quarterback to do very little. That's what they were doing when they were winning 12, 11, 10 games early in Dak's career. The last few years, he starts getting a lot of money. They're throwing the ball 40 times a game, 35 times a game, and they're struggling. So I'm interested to see if he can put his ego to the side and keep that kind of game plan, that game style, and make the throws when he needs to make them to try and keep winning games that way, because their defense is lights out. But you've got to move, stay ahead of the chains, keep the ball moving, keep the ball from the other guys, and play smart football. So I'm interested to see kind of how they make that transition. The Rams, I'm kind of surprised how bad they're doing. I had a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. I think that's what I picked when we first started the season off. But, yeah, I'm surprised with their struggles. The offensive line has looked pretty, pretty abysmal this year so far. And but all in all, it's been the football's been rocky. The first couple weeks, it was, you know, people were – I think the whole preseason thing kind of comes back to bite you. People weren't playing as well, you know, early on or smooth. But it's the NFL, man. They've been fun games. They've all been close. It's been exciting to watch.
I'll give you my Super Bowl prediction mid to late January.
Okay, yeah. I'm sticking with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to go and they're going to win it all. That's what I'm sticking with. But the other team they're going to play, I'll let that evolve as well. But I want to give a shout-out to my UCLA Bruins. We are 5-0 for the first time in a very, very long time. We are ranked number 11 for the first time since I was at school. We just beat the number 15 team and the number 11 team in back-to-back weeks. Chip Kelly's rolling. I called for his job earlier. I was saying about how they've been playing for the last 4 years when he was there. But those guys are doing really, really good right now. So shout-out to the Bruins.
Since you brought up college, I wanted to ask you this. Give me your thoughts on how they have now flip-flopped the number one team, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row?
I don't know why. I think Georgia is the unquestioned number one team in the country right now. I think they have the most talent. Alabama, I didn't think should be number one after they had that close game against Texas and the next one. But even college football had a lot of parity. It always does, but A&M has struggled more than I thought they would. Texas struggled after playing a great game against Alabama. I like it, though. I like it. It keeps it interesting. I like the fact that they expanded the playoffs, so that's going to be fun to watch.
Sure.
That doesn't start for the next, I think, in another year or two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But you know, like, I love the fact that USC and UCLA are kind of hitting their stride before they hit the Big Ten in a year or two. Oklahoma, my goodness. My cousin plays there, and they have just looked atrocious. And I didn't see that coming at all. This whole, you know, like the way it's kind of going now with these schools and with the transfer portal, they're not sticking next to bad football and bad coaches and bad players, because players will transfer out of your school. You know, Oklahoma lost a lot of guys when their coach left. And so I think they're probably going to move off their coach at the end of the season. Nebraska moved off their coach in the middle of the year. So it's really interesting when the changes in the offseason and the changes to the sport kind of affect how these things go. Because now in the NFL, you see the trend where, you know, coaches get fired after a year or two if you don't perform. Some coaches only get a year or maybe have Matt Rule. I don't know how long he had, but it was pretty quick.
He was there 3 years.
Three? It didn't seem like it. Okay. So, but like, you know, coaches, the turnover of coaches are so fast now. You're seeing that with players too. If they draft a quarterback, they're talking about moving off Kenny Pickett, and it's been, he's had four starts, you know, and the Steelers talking about they need to draft another quarterback in the first round next year if they're losing the way they're losing. So just that, the win down mentality is getting crazy, but it makes for interesting football. It makes for interesting watches. And so I've been kind of keeping my eye on some of those things. The Steelers, how Kenny Pickett does, because their season looks like it's not going to do well. You know, does Oklahoma, you know, fire their coach and move on to like Matt Rule or Urban Meyer? Well, you know, things like that with some of those guys floating out there. So football's been awesome, man. It's been real interesting. Saturdays and Sundays have been a lot of fun for me.
What NFL team do you anticipate making some kind of move, you know, that's been struggling, that, you know, hasn't been in the upper echelon, you know, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Kansas City, but that you think could make that push? Maybe not, you know, to the Super Bowl, but could get into the playoffs and have a nice run.
I mean, Philly struggled for a while. I think since their Super Bowl run and Carson Wentz, like, they haven't really looked great. So I think that they'll make a good push. I don't know if there's quite a Super Bowl ready yet. I think that the quarterback needs a little bit more time under his belt. So before, he needs to just kind of prove it more. So I don't think that they're there yet. But the Dolphins, if they can get Tua back, will be a real problem. I think they're having, like, a real quarterback issue now. The starter went out, the backup went out, and so now they're down to a third-string guy. And so it's tough for them, but if they can get him back healthy, I think they make a push. But right now, man, I think the Ravens, you know, they've always kind of been around and did well. I think it's kind of top-heavy. Doesn't mean the games won't be close, but you can kind of see a real separation between the teams who are at the top and the ones who are kind of, you know, some teams are a quarterback away or, you know, still trying to figure out the whole coaching quarterback dynamic thing. But I think at the top, you got some really good football teams. I think the Patriots will surprise people. I think they're going to string together some wins, especially now with the Dolphins being in the situation that they're in. I think the Patriots get some wins and they find a way to get to the playoffs and surprise people. But I think those top teams are kind of going to sweep through this thing this year. Buffalo, right. Kansas City.
So earlier we talked about, you know, how sacred ground.
Just interrupt your best friend while he's talking. No, it's okay.
But he talked about how sacred the ground is, the gridiron, where they play this emotional game for hours and how the fans are on the field and it's a sacred ground. So what's your take on the most sacred of all ground, the Dallas Star in Dallas? Now that they have a quarterback controversy, Dak Prescott out, but now they're putting together wins. Is that for real? Are Dallas a contender this year?
Dallas is a contender. They have a superstar defense. Their defense is playing amazing. Micah Parsons is a super, super stud. D-line's doing great. So they're a real contender. I don't want to call them a Super Bowl contender yet, you know, but I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs, whoever they play. There's just for the last however many years, when they get to that playoff game, they can't find the consistency in their identity. So I think they need to stick to Tony Pollard, stick to Ezekiel Elliott, let them run the ball, take some pressure off of that offensive line who's young. They have a lot of young guys in there. Wait for Tyron Smith to get back before you start airing out some more. Let Michael Gallup get more healthy. You know, take the pressure off Dak, let the defense win games, run the football, old school football. And I think if they can do that, and not try to be the best offense in the league and score 40 points a game, I think they can really make a good run. And I think that division, the New York Giants, Brian Dable, you talked about teams that have been bad for a long time. He's doing an amazing job with those guys. Like, I mean, that's when you talk about, like, you know, there's always a thing that people say that it's not about the X's and O's, it's about the, you know, Jacks and the Joes or whatever it is. But then you get a quarterback, you get a coach like Brian Dable with a team that's been winning 2-3 games a year for the last few years. And you see now they're 5-1. They just had a big win against the Packers. So, you know, they're a team that I think is a dark horse competitor. I don't think Daniel Jones can win a Super Bowl just right now, but I think they got a really good coach and a good GM moving forward. So they'll be a fun team to watch as the year progresses.
What do you think is better for a sport, you know, and it doesn't matter which one, you know, baseball, you know, Yankees, Dodgers, football, Kansas City, you know, New England. Is it better to have those elites always be elites, or is it, in your opinion, better to have a team every once in a while get in there, whether it was Philadelphia that one year or whoever, you know, and beat the dominant names and teams?
I like the elites being the elites. Obviously, every once in a while, it's going to be nice to have, like, a team come out of nowhere and get a championship. I think the NFL is a little different because it's there's just way more parity. It's professional, you know, it's a little different, right? But, like, when the Lakers and the Boston Celtics play in championship games, it's a moment, right? When the University of Texas and USC face off and they're both ranked, it's a moment. You know, like, those things drive people, like, it's awesome now that you see, like, Syracuse is ranked, like, number 9 or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, like, no one's really turning those games off. And there's a reason for that. Like, these historic teams, like, people love to watch them. So I also think that it's great that some teams come up and you have your Cinderella stories. But I love my powerhouses being great and turning on the TV and seeing these great teams, like, do what they do. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Good stuff. Caleb, thanks for calling in. Hopefully we'll get you back in the co-host chair. We're off for the next 2 weeks, but we will be back with some interesting stuff. I'll give you a holler. Oh, Matt will give you a holler. I'm not allowed. Matt said I'm not allowed to call you.
Before we go, rest in peace, American Idol, Willie Spence, who died in a car crash, 23 years old.
Angela Lansbury passed away.
Yeah, Murder, She Wrote.
All right, see everybody in a couple weeks. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.